The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And I mean, listen, what we were doing before, I was talking to myself, okay? So, like, the bar for you is like, but army crawl over, okay?
I mean, you're an interesting man. I mean, that's the thing with this, is talking to yourself. I mean, that's a pleasure. You're an interesting man. You've seen a lot. You've done a lot. You've experienced much.
According to Danny Cunningham, Ken Carman is the interesting man here in the city, okay? It's not me. It's not me. They didn't pick Jake Volmick for the most interesting man, okay?
And congrats to him for that honor and making it into that magazine. Yeah. Good for him. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, yeah. They didn't pick me, though. I was not the interesting one.
Well, we'll get you there.
Yeah, we'll start
you at the bottom, and you work your way up. The first thing we'll do is we'll go to a bunch of local high schools, and we'll offer you out to them. And they can write a feature on you for the most interesting man. And we'll see where it takes you from there. And maybe, just maybe, we could get a local Rotary Club to write about you, too.
Oh, wow.
This is how it works. And we just slowly work your way up. You know, you could find those Ken Carman Rotary Club write-ups all over the place.
That's great. Yeah, no, this is going to go well. I mean, I have the right physical stature for this, right? I mean, relatively blonde hair. Kent's got me beat in the blonde department. But my round-ish build, I think, fits with Ken very well.
How is your knowledge of professional wrestling in the territorial days?
I got to study up.
You got to talk. You got to be able to talk Harley Race. You got to be able to give a whole bunch of reviews about Dusty Rhodes promos and Harley Race and into a little bit of Ric Flair days and all that kind of stuff. Little Ricky the Dragon Steamboat in there for you as well. You know, you'll get there. You'll get there.
Yeah, no, I was like,
we'll get you deep Mid-South in no time.
Yeah, late 2000s, early 2010s. That's where my wrestling knowledge lives and also mostly dies. Mm. A little beyond it, but that's about it.
We'll get you there.
Well, we'll come around. Dan, obviously, happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you as well.
Thank you very much. How was everything back at your place?
Hectic as all get out. We had about 22 people over to the house for Christmas Eve. And so it is always a zoo. The lady friend's family all finds their way over, and they are of they're Cuban descent. So we do the Cuban Christmas Eve of, you know, pork, beans, rice, all of that kind of good stuff. It's always a good meal. It's always enjoyable, all that stuff. Probably the most fun part of it is her grandfather's 101 years old. Her grandmother is 91 years old. Her great aunt is 90. And so there are two sides of it. One of them is it's always nice to talk to those people, get their perspective on life and the world around it and all that stuff, because they've seen so much compared to you. Like,
right.
And so it's just kind of cool to sit there and talk with them. But the other part of it that makes it cool is that they've hit the age where they come, they eat, and they leave, which, when you're hosting a party, the best people on this earth are the people who come, eat, and leave. Like, that's it. And so they rolled in at 5 and they were gone by 8:30.
That's as good as it gets.
This is great. I love this. This is the way that it should be. Come, eat, leave. Like, that's all that I could ask for. But the best part of the whole thing, and I was going to come in here and give you some guff, because you were talking Josh Naylor a little bit earlier, and the best part is her grandfather comes up to me, and I go, "Hi, abuelo, how are you? Good to see you." And he comes up and goes, "Hi." And again, 101-year-old man. "Hello. Why did the Guardians trade Josh Naylor?" That's how I was greeted.
That's a great start to a conversation. This perfect. Is perfect.
This is what I want. I'm giving the man a hug, and he's in my ear going, "Why did the Guardians trade Josh Naylor?" His wife comes up, 92. Hello. Hi, Abuela. How are you? Why did the Guardians trade Josh Naylor? I don't understand this move for the life of me. It was phenomenal. It was everything I could ask for and more. So, yes, these moves matter to these people, and they are locked in come hell or high water. It's the best.
Now, did you give them the same diatribe that I gave everybody else earlier on?
So, I basically, my exact wording that I gave them was, you know, they were a little bit worried about his build. They were a little bit worried that the production wasn't going to keep raising, and they weren't going to sign him long term. And the best part is again, he looks at me and he goes, the guy hit 32 home runs. This team doesn't have anybody who can hit 32 home runs. Why are you trading the guy who hit 32 home runs?
Very and simple. I'm like,
this is my question as well. And I looked at him and go, this is the answer I'm going to get for you. And the next time I see you, I will have a better answer. Because I don't know. It's the same thing that I was kicking around. I'm like, why in the hell are you getting rid of a guy who had 32 bombs? Like, you don't have these guys in this organization. This is the death by a thousand paper cuts offense. And for some reason, I cannot wrap my head around. This organization is allergic to home runs. And I know what it is. It's because you got to pay people who hit home runs. But you need them to win in 2024. You need to be able to hit the ball over the fence. You need to be able to make pitchers pay when they make mistakes. And so, oh yeah, is it? I'm sitting here saying this to a 100-year-old man as I'm stirring a pot of black beans. Like
everybody's dream,
exactly.
Obviously.
It was. I'm like going up, and he's sitting there going, I don't get it. I don't get it either. Anyway.
Yeah, no. It's
So it was nice, man. How was yours?
It was really good. I just explained to Anthony all the fat food that I've eaten on Christmas Day. But we're a big Christmas Eve family, as you just sort of laid out for you, too.
Yeah.
It's held at my mom's house. We hosted in a small ramp-style home, 18 people, so you're
good
basically elbow to elbow.
Good for you.
Yep.
All right, so I got it true a tiny bit on this. How many restrooms?
One and a half. So.
See, because we do that on my ma's side of the family up in Wisconsin. They do it at the house they grew up in, and it's something similar to that, except it's one bathroom.
Yep, you get
so
two.
You spend the entire weekend just going, is anybody in the bathroom? Has anybody been in the bathroom? Can you let me know if you're in the... Like, it's
yep.
all that stuff.
That's all that
so
it comes down to. Every yep. single time. Yep. But it was good. You know, got to spend it with family. We are not the show up, eat, and leave kind of people. Not at all. It's we are there from when we say we're going to get there, it's about 6 o'clock, up until like at least 10:30. And that was...
Wow. Good for you guys.
We push it the full way. Grandparents, everybody. Nobody's leaving early.
Good for you guys. That's excellent. It used to be that way, but then everybody's kind of got older, and then the kids started going to school and all that stuff because the lady friend's brother brings my niece and nephew over as well, and they run and terrorize and do all the things that kids should do. Like, I'm not saying that like it's a bad thing. I'm saying that like this is what kids should do. And so they were the same way. Like, they all showed up. They did everything. And then about 9 o'clock, I would say, they took off. And the minute 9 o'clock hit, the bottle of Blanton's came down, and a good evening was had by all.
That's what I like to
hear. The after party hit, and the after party was a darn good time.
That's the best part of a party, right?
Yep.
That's the best way that it goes. I do have to ask you, though, between the two set of sports that we have on, we had the NFL on Christmas, and obviously, I mean, Christmas Day NBA. Were you tuned into either?
So my folks are not. So we do Christmas Day at my parents. Okay. My parents are not big sports people, so which is why they still don't understand for the life of them why I do this for a living. It's one of their biggest questions in life is we didn't really pay attention to this stuff, and yet here this guy is running his mouth for extended periods of time about stuff that we never cared about. And so we did not have any of them on. Typically, we would have, like, if I had to pick, it would be the NBA. The problem that I have, man, and we're in the middle of it this week, and it seems more overarching than anything else. The best thing that the NFL had going for them was scarcity. That was the best thing. Supply and demand, right? We all know the simple basics of supply and demand. You don't need to be a genius to understand that, right? With high demand, low supply, that's kind of what you're looking. You want to get it close to the middle. High supply, low demand, you're probably going under, right? That's like the way that this kind of thing works, right?
Major League Baseball.
So the NFL has always been a high demand, low supply, right? That is always the thing of it, and it's the best thing it has going for it. We brought up a certain, which I am available for all endorsements when it comes to that particular bourbon, but that particular bourbon is the perfect example of it, where it's like they have built this entire thing on the idea that there is a low supply and a high demand. The NFL was the same way. The only way you would get the NFL was on Sundays at 1 o'clock, Sundays at 4 o'clock, Sunday night, and Monday, right? And even Sunday night didn't really exist until earlier than you think. But then it was Monday, and that was it. And so you would pull these gargantuan numbers, and you would have this lock-in, and you would have all of these things that everyone was so in for because it was once a week, and you knew exactly when it was. And what they have done in the last, 5 years, I think about 5 years, 10 years maybe, no, 5 years, let's go with that, is that now you're losing that demand, supply-demand side of it. The supply is maintaining, right? We added one more game. They'll probably add a second one in between there. But if you're going to start living in this world where you're going to have NFL football on a Wednesday, and then you're going to have it on Thursday night like we have tonight, which you'll, of course, be locked into right here on your home with Thursday Night Football and Westwood One's coverage of it, 92.3 The Fan, you're going to then put another game on, you know what, we're going to have two games on Saturday, we're going to put a bunch of games in on Sunday, then we'll have Monday Night Football as well, we'll swing back around to Thursday night on top of that one, then you're going to have it on Saturday, and then Sunday once again going into Wild Card Weekend. Now all of a sudden, you're taking the best thing you had going for it, which was the high demand and the knowledge that it was going to be at one place and one place only, and now all of a sudden you're moving it everywhere. And it's no longer as special as it once was. And that's what I wonder is going to happen with the NFL with moving these games all over the place.
So I would agree with you on a normal sense of, like, if they picked a random Wednesday to play a game, it would feel weird. I don't think it would do well for them. You picked Christmas Day. I mean, everyone's just gathered around waiting for something to start anyway. The NFL reigns king. The NFL is just there.
It does. It's a juggernaut. Yeah.
If you play an NFL game, it's on.
You are mainlining NFL football in this country. Like, that is the only way to put it. You are mainlining NFL football. Like, that's how we all are. We are addicted to this thing. And so now, I think we are going to hit a point, like a lot of things, where if you could start getting this everywhere, I wonder if the specialness of it seems to dissipate a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, instead of knowing that it's 1 o'clock on Sunday and we can make a big old deal out of it and we can, you know, get a bunch of people together and all that stuff, it's tougher to get people together on a Wednesday. It's tougher to get people together on a Thursday. It's tougher to get people together on a Saturday because everybody plays every youth sport known to man on a Saturday. And so, like, it's tougher to work that together.
I just feel like when you look at it, and I think I could honestly make the counter argument for you.
Please do.
That the NBA, their specialty was, you know when it's going to be on, not throughout the course of the season, that type of scarcity, but Christmas Day, you reign supreme. You knew on Christmas Day, there's only one thing to watch if you wanted to watch sports, and the thing you wanted to watch was the NBA. The NFL's now invaded that.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL has taken over that idea, and like we said, the NFL reigns king, and now you actually trounce the NBA because everybody cares about NFL football. I saw on Christmas Day, stadiums packed out with their fans. Steelers fans showed up at 1 o'clock on Christmas Day. They opened presents and said, all right, let's go. Time to get down to the stadium and watch some football.
Congratulations on opening all of your layers. Now put them on.
Yes. Oh, I got a new Steelers coat. This will work today. Yeah, no, that's exactly what happened. But they packed out. It did not matter. The NFL reigns king, and you have now trounced on the idea that the NBA, that is their day. And what a lot of people view it as, the symbolic start to the NBA season, when people actually start to care. My fear then would be that that has changed. The NBA, the symbolic start is no longer going to be Christmas Day, because I don't think that the average sports fan actually watched the NBA games because they were too dialed in to the NFL. 216-474-0092. That's what I want to know. Is the symbolic start for the NBA now changing that NFL has taken over sort of Christmas Day? You can also get to us on X at Volnick Jake for myself, and at The Sports Feller for Dan. It's Jake Volnick, it's Dan Menigan right here on 92.3 The Fan. We all sort of view this, the Christmas Day games year after year, is like a symbolic start for the NBA, when people actually start to pay attention. And I think it stems back to the fact of, you're sitting there on Christmas Day, the NBA season's going on, you know it's going on, it's just, it's the regular season, a lot of games left to be played. And then they give you some good games to watch. They give you some quality matchups, like the 76ers, who have been on a tear going up against the defending NBA champions, the Boston Celtics. And you're like, oh, hold on, there's some storylines here. There's some things to pay attention to. And then all of a sudden you look at the standings, you're like, the Cavs are 26-4. When did that happen? And that's when everybody, the average sports fan, your sort of average Joe, tunes in. and starts to actually pay a little bit more attention. The NFL season winds down, and Cleveland a lot easier when your team's 3-12. It just so happens. But I wonder now at the NFL if a lot of households were tuned into the NFL games, and the NBA almost has to look at this and find itself a point to rebrand themselves as when their season starts, when their ratings start to climb a little bit more, people start to pay more attention, national media attention, because you didn't have that start, it feels like. I think if you ask the average person, they were NFL yesterday, they were dialed into what should have been two pretty good games, and the NBA sort of took the backseat, at least until the night.
Well, they were NFL if they had a Netflix subscription, because I think that's true. The other part of this that we are angling away from, and I think that's the part of this that's going to continue to be really fascinating with this, is I'm sure no matter what happens today, at some point we are going to see a tweet from Andrew Martian, John Allrand, one of those guys who follow sports media, that is going to have an absurd number of people who tuned in to watch that game, to watch the two games that were there, right? I'm sure we are going to get that. And I'm sure when that comes out, we're going to go, this is a success. Well done. The part that's really fascinating to me on this is that the only people who are really can tell you what the numbers that Netflix pulled to this game is Netflix. It's not like there's a secondary source that we can check. There's not like there's a secondary place that we could go to say, okay, how well did these games do? It's just Netflix who is going to go, oh yeah, we had X amount of clicks, we had X amount of people watch for X amount of time, we peaked during Beyonce's halftime show, all of that kind of stuff in between there. But we're not going to have a secondary source that's going to come in and go, yeah, that makes sense. So really, we're not going to know how successful the NFL is on Netflix until 3 years down the road. And so if I'm the NBA, I'm looking at that part of it, and I'm going, okay, so how many people were really going to Netflix? How many people are really going, well, I guess I got to get a Netflix subscription so that I can watch the NFL on such and such? Not to mention, it is Christmas Day. It's when a lot of families get together. Typically, these things are hosted by people who are a little bit older and not as tech savvy as all we are. And so there's also that part of it, because I know if I would have done that at our house, I would have dealt with my folks going, you know, like, wait, Netflix, do we have Netflix? Scott, can you check to see if we have Netflix? Go to the password thing. Do we have that? I don't know if we have that. Okay, can you sign up for it? Well, can we use your account? Wait, they cracked down on it, so we can't use your account. Well, do we really want to get that? Like, you're playing that whole game in between there as well.
I also wonder, like, so the idea that these streaming services hand out, like, free trials, like they're going out of business, right? You get the free week. If you didn't have a Netflix subscription, or you're not sitting there going on Christmas Day going, oh, well, got an email here that was never associated with a Netflix account.
Yeah.
Is there probably a 7-day trial sitting out there where I just need it for Christmas Day?
There might be.
Probably.
You're right. There might be. And the NBA side of it, I kind of want to see where all of this plays out before we make any kind of vast conclusions or anything like that of, oh yeah, this is where the NBA is going to tank because the NFL was on there. Because making your product harder to be seen doesn't exactly bring in more people. Now, making your product easy to be seen but not on as often brings in a whole lot of people. That's the part of it I'm really interested in. So I typically, if it was me, man, and I was at home and I was watching it, I probably would have had the NBA on, and I probably would have had it just because it is the unofficial kickoff, and the matchups are usually outstanding. And you know, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't get a chance to see a whole bunch of it yesterday, but I did see some of Steph going absolutely nuts, or, you know, against LeBron and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, that game was such marquee. I mean, that's what you're asking for.
Yeah, I mean, that was the prime LeBron versus Steph Curry, despite the fact that both of them are, you know, the aging superstars in the NBA. I think drew in a lot, but the competition that you had with a lot of the NFL games, though, was like the NBA almost, and probably unintentionally here, but taking the backseat of, well, we'll just take the later slot. We'll have people pay attention to later games. Yeah. I mean, how many people are tuning in for Spurs-Knicks?
But that's always how it's built every Christmas.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah, the early games are never like the big holy mackerel games. It's always like, you know, you kind of get the up-and-coming kids there. Like typically that early game, like Victor Wembanyama in that game, perfect. That's for the NBA heads. That's for the serious, like, I have league pass and I've been watching this guy all year, and now I get to sit down and watch him on, you know, TNT, ABC, whatever it was on. I could see this guy right here, right now, ESPN. Like, that's how this usually goes. And then as the night goes on, they build it. And the 10 o'clock game is typically like the West Coast NBA head game. Yeah. You know, that's like the Sacramento Kings special. Or like the like back in the day, the Phoenix Suns special. Like, if you wanted to see Steve Nash, you knew that was coming at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that was kind of what they got. It was Suns Nuggets at the 10 o'clock slot here.
That's a 10 o'clock game right there. NBA heads only. The Phoenix Suns trying to figure out exactly who they are. Bradley Beal being 60% of what Bradley Beal was. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker trying to carry him as Nikola Jokic does everything. You know, and you're sitting there just cackling at Nikola Jokic passes.
So I don't even know that it kills, this entire thing though, kills NBA ratings as much as it's just the sort of media flip over to the NBA. Of like, this is now where I start to care about the NBA, which, all things considered, like, as long as the ratings are there, is it a big change for the NBA? Maybe not, but I think they put a lot of value in being sort of that Christmas day, okay, now everyone pays attention, you get a lot of the talk, and the buildup for the season goes. It's not so much that, okay, so it's not Christmas Day, it'll never happen, but it's there's always going to be that sort of symbolic start for people, because when you mesh and you collide with the NFL, you lose out on that battle. Until you have one of these big days. Christmas Day was sort of their pocket to be like, okay, the NFL season's still happening, but we get to chime in. Now it's almost, do I have to wait for the NFL season to be over?
And it was that level of politeness that came with it that was like, no. The NBA can have their Christmas. We'll take everything else. And then Roger Goodell was like, forget it. Nope, we're not being nice. That's ours now. You know, we're going to come take it.
Yeah, for $150 million, I'll very nicely take that.
We'll let you come take that. And, like, that's the thing with it. So I wonder, all right, so there's a generation gap a little bit between us.
Right.
I'm 36, you're...
23.
Okay. So how does your generation consume the NBA? Because the funny thing that comes with it is the fact that the NBA is, it's popular. People pay attention to it. Like, you could walk up to a lot of people and have a long conversation of it, but people are not locked in on the games. And they're not doing that stuff because they can read the box scores. They could go onto YouTube the next day and catch the shortened versions of everything, catch the highlights. Like, when I used to coach hoops, I would have these kids coming up to me all the time going, oh my gosh, did you see what Harden did last night? And I'd look at him and be like, you stayed up till 1 o'clock in the morning to watch the Houston Rockets and all that kind of, to see him go off the door? No, I just watched it on YouTube this morning during history class. And I'm like, well, you should probably pay attention to history. But anyway, yes, I did see what happened with Harden. So, like, there's just, like, this whole shift that is taking place of this generation that's like, I may not sit down for 2.5 hours and lock into this stuff, but I know what's going on, and I know who's good, I know why they're good, and I know who I got to pay attention to.
Yeah, so, like, my generation, I would say, is, like, the YouTube generation of, okay, here's the game highlights, here's...
Right.
I think you've even evolved, probably, as you go farther down the line with, like, high school kids now and younger that are probably consuming a lot more of it on, like, TikTok.
Yeah.
Of, like, here's the highlights, you get a 2-minute clip of every point that Steph Curry scored last night.
Right.
And that's that. Like, I'm sitting there watching 10-minute full videos of the highlights, and, yeah, that's what I was doing in history class. I mean,
exactly.
Come on. That was the better thing to do. But it's just like, you consume it, but I still feel, I was someone who was always watching the full games, too. Like, obviously, you had to pick and choose, but, like, if there was a Cavs game on, I could sit down and watch the full thing. I might be in the minority, but I would still do that. I still feel like for a lot of people, and more maybe NBA heads, that still want to do that, though. Like, even my age, I know plenty of people my age, a lot of my friends still sit there and watch a full NBA game and watch a majority of them,
yeah.
At least Cavs games, or whoever they want to root on that night, or whoever they're, you know, tossing a bet on, or whatever it is, they'll sit down and watch the full game. It's not just box scores and everything else. But you get to that point of, okay, if you're only consuming it through TikTok, like, it's... A bigger question of, like, the NBA regular season, we have that debate.
Yeah.
I mean, more often than we need to, probably, but...
Right. And that's where I was kind of, like, thinking through this whole thing, because I know everybody always wants to trash the NBA for ratings. You know, that's always their big thing. And yet, somehow, some way, they find a boatload of cash every time it's time to get these, you know, the new rights deals up. You know, all of a sudden, it's like, well, the ratings are terrible. These ratings are in a tank. And all of a sudden, ESPN is just, like, rolling in the wheelbarrow filled with gold and dumping it on the ground in front of Adam Silver. Like, for somehow, some way, as much as we want to trash these things, if they're so bad, why are people paying for them? You know, it's always, like, the part of this that I feel like we want this myth to be there that the NBA is failing, and we want this myth to be in the middle, and like, it's just not the case. It's just not.
No, it's fine. It's just but not by traditional avenue that the NBA succeeds. It does draw the question then, though, if the NBA, so if the NFL, if we find out, either by just paying attention to national media and everything that goes on, whether or not they actually start to talk about the NBA more, whether or not just local media starts to talk about the NBA more, if they feel like the NFL on Christmas hinders them, do they need to make a change and find a different spot? Because I would say waiting until the end of the NFL season, while maybe not detrimental, it definitely doesn't help your product.
No, No, it does not. And especially when you've got 82 games to sell, you've got a lot of issues that are causing people on top of it to not want to pay attention, including the fact that it's like, all right, Thursday night, marquee game. Here we go. We got the Boston Celtics going up against the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is going to be great. I'm so locked in on this one. Wait, Tatum's out? Brown's out? Load management. Wait, Darius Garland's out? Back? Evan Mobley ankle? What? What's happening here? We've been playing for, you know. And yeah. That's the thing that they've got to figure out. It is becoming the detrimental that, like, you want to sit down and you want to watch these games. And you want to be locked in and you want to see great people do great things. And you want to see greatness in front of you because that's the stuff that makes you want to watch. And that's the stuff that 10 years down the road, you're going to be bouncing your grandkids on your knees and telling them about having to watch, you know, or 30 years down the road, bouncing your grandkids on your knee going, I remember watching Donovan Mitchell hit a turnaround jumper from the free throw line that hit every part of the rim and dropped and changed the momentum of a great game that we had. Like, they've got to figure out how we can put these games on national TV, and you guys need to play. And they need to get these guys to play, even on the other ones, so when you bring people to the games, you're there for a reason, and you're there to see them. And that's the big thing NBA's got to figure out. I think the three-point shooting, the game itself, yeah, is it getting a little homogenized? Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's similar. Everybody copies everything. In the same way that NFL offenses will all look the same, in the same way that everybody is playing cover two on defense, you know, like, it all borrows from everybody else, right? Are there too many threes? Sure, I'll listen to it. I think the people who whine too much about too many threes really need to go back to 1970 and watch those yep. games before they complain way too much about too many three-pointers and all that stuff so that they get the fresh memory in their head about how everybody walked the ball up the floor and then dumped it in the post as that guy dribbled 13 to 15 times and kind of hit some kind of a turnaround jumper or something along those lines. Like, yeah, I think some people need to have a brief refresher on all those things. But to sit here and trash the NBA and the product that it's become, boy, I think it's a pretty entertaining product, Jake.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, the highlights definitely speak for themselves. I enjoy watching the game still. I do think, though, when you talk load management, the Cavs are probably every NBA star who takes their load management's like worst nightmare. Because the Cavs are playing night in and night out because Kenny Atkinson properly utilizes his minutes. So they're probably not very happy about that. We're going to hit a break. When we come back, JP said something on Tuesday about the Cavs. It just irked me. I want to see if Dan feels differently about it. 216-474-0092. We'll get to your calls on the other side. Hang in there. It's Jake Volnick. It's Dan Menigan right here on 92.3 The Fan. By the way, 2 points where I think they could jump back in on the symbolic start if the NFL is going to take over Christmas. Christmas Eve this year, nothing. Absolutely. We got the Hawaii Bowl.
Yeah, that was funky.
Yeah, Anthony Alant was the only person excited at the Hawaii Bowl that I've seen ever.
Well, and everybody who went to Hawaii.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, exactly.
They're doing
I'd
much
be excited
better than
for that, too.
Yeah.
It went to five overtimes.
Yeah, I know.
Get
I saw.
Out of Dodge.
Yeah, five overtimes. I think USF ended up taking like 41-30. I'll
be darned.
Yeah, I cared enough to look at the box score, but that was about it.
But you beat me.
I knew one name in the entire game other than
Scott Frost.
No, actually, I didn't even. Does Scott Frost coach for USF?
He will be coming shortly. Oh, okay. They rehired him once again, but I'm sure, knowing how Scott Frost will operate, I think he got a trip to Hawaii out of the deal.
Scott Frost is going to Central Florida.
Yeah!
You tried.
All right, I'm 0 for 1.
Yep.
0 for 1. We did our best. Look, we're trying. We're doing our best, okay? We didn't Google that one. We didn't research it. We took a shot in the dark. Life happens.
It was a good shot. It was worth the shot. No, I knew Nick Nash. He was the Triple Crown winner from San Jose State. That was the only one I knew. The wide receiver that was a Triple Crown winner. That's the only guy. And it was off of just the fact that I saw it on Twitter. And then I was
good
like,
for you.
Yeah, that was as far as we got. Nobody cared. So it's like, it felt like, by the way, every sports league, you can argue like, oh, should sports be played on holidays? You know, borderline hack radio topic. But like, Christmas Eve was open. If somebody wanted to play games on Christmas Eve, I'd be watching sports on Christmas Eve. It'd be up on my TV. I would have been watching. And nobody took the advantage. It was the Hawaii Bowl at 8 o'clock, and that was the only thing that got played. I also think another thing the NBA could do is you take advantage of these midweek, where obviously the NBA, or the NFL is going to take over on Christmas on a Wednesday, but typically like a Monday, Tuesday, or a Tuesday, Wednesday, and a Friday, the NFL's not on. I think if you took the NBA Cup and condensed it to the point where we're not playing random Tuesdays and Fridays throughout the year, and then it's like, oh, yeah, today's an NBA Cup day. Oh, they're in the championship. Oh, we have 2 weeks. The Cavs play the Wizards and the Nets?
Mm-hmm.
What is happening? What happened? No. Like, you just condense in a little bit more, and you play these games over the span of a couple of weeks where it feels, sure, you can have other games mixed in, but it feels more like a set-up tournament where you have it going on all at once. You might be able to build up a little bit more momentum for it and actually dive in. And for the NBA, this could be their, you know, here's right back to you to the NFL and jump in even earlier. Try to get people involved in the NBA season even earlier than Christmas.
It's a pretty good idea. You're onto something here. Because the whole idea behind this, too, is that if you could condense this thing and you could put it together like that and then put it right on Christmas Eve, A, you would have that window to yourself, and B, you can find a way to then make it special. Because that's what will make people tune in. Because, and again, we're only two games into this. We're only two seasons into this NBA Cup. The one thing I'll give them, the guys care. Like, it's good basketball.
The players care.
The players care. And it's not just the rookies on the end of the benches who are doing some serious rebounding and all that kind of stuff because they know that they're about to double their paycheck for the year by if they win this game. They care. And so that's what the NBA needs, is you need to find a way in the regular season to get people to lock into a game where you care, where everybody cares. Might be onto something with that. I like that. Copyright that. Make money off it.
Yeah, every once in a while I pull together a good
idea.
That's
a goodie.
Adam Silver, give me a call. I'll take very limited percentages of the money. Don't worry. I'm not asking for much here.
It'll be seven figures, but it'll be low seven figures.
Yeah.
You know, we got to make sacrifices.
Yeah, I'm always willing. Always willing. If you add two commas, that'd be the first time I've seen it in my life. Thank you very much. No, I want to get some of your calls at 216-474-0092 if you want to jump in. Bill's in Parma. Bill, what do you got?
How are you, Bill?
Hey, you guys are doing a great job.
Thanks, buddy.
Dan, appreciate it.
You stole my thunder just a little bit. You know, supposedly the NBA's attendance watching is down this year. I think one of the reasons is I think there's a little bit of a burnout on LeBron and his dominance of wanting the attention in the NBA. I think there's a lot of viewers that want to move on. And even LeBron the other day kind of bothered me a little bit, in which he said, you know, we need to get somebody on this team for me to win the fifth championship. You know, I think we need to get Jimmy Butler. Well, Jimmy Butler was smart enough to say, I don't want to go there. And the reason is, if they would win the fifth championship, LeBron would say he was the reason. LeBron was the reason he wanted. And supposedly Butler wants to go to San Francisco or Golden State. And but I think there's a lot of people that are tired of that. I think the team that we have here is revolutionary in a way, and that is they share the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really have the star treatment that the NBA was started with David Stern, and there was, you know, and so this right here, does it sell? And see, that's the whole thing with the NBA, does it sell? And this goes back where I'm also just, I want to morph this into, because you guys are smart and I want to run this by you.
We moonlight. Jake is smart. I moonlight is smart.
So, no, I think I'm there with you, actually.
Yeah, well, but you know, this in the most valuable player situation, and that is right now they're saying Lamar Jackson should be the most valuable player. And, you know, and I'm sitting here thinking, wait a minute, Patrick Mahomes is on a 15-1 team. His team has been awful this year because everybody's been injured. He didn't have any receivers. He hasn't had any running backs. And they're 15-1, yet he's won three Super Bowls. And Lamar Jackson has won none. And his team is 11-5 or whatever it is. And they're saying that he is the most valuable, and he hasn't won any. And that's almost like saying in the NBA that the guy that scores the most points should be the most valuable player every year. No. It should be the team. You should look at the team that is winning the most and look at the player that is probably driving it. And I believe this is Mahomes' best season, as a matter of fact, ever. Hey, listen, you guys, great program.
Thanks, Bill.
Appreciate it. Appreciate the call.
I mean, that's always the great question. And they love to make that as ambiguous as humanly possible, that when you say most valuable player, do you mean most valuable player in which player is giving the most for my team to win or which player is the best? Because it's always going to be two separate arguments. You know, if you're doing that one, I mean, we'll keep it NBA side. But you can make a really good argument last year that, like, Donovan Mitchell should have been really high in the MVP conversation. Why? Right. Because he was dragging that team through the Darius Garland giving his jaw wired shut and Evan Mobley being banged up. And it was him and Jared Allen basically dragging this team by their teeth into the playoffs. Like, that's always the in-between conversation. And that's one of those great bar discussions that you'll have till the end of time. It's like, okay, when you describe valuable, what do you mean? You know, like,
yeah.
It feels like one of those, you know, we start getting into this philosophical argument that would end a philosophy major's final, you know, would be like, define valuable. And it would just be a stack of 10 pieces of paper and a pen.
Wow, I might go back to college if I'm allowed to do that. Can I define most valuable player? MVP, can I do that? I might have a degree. No, it's like, I just don't. There's a lot of reasons why the NBA is, quote unquote, the ratings are down. I think for a lot of what we talked about, some of what Bill talked about, but I don't know that star power is even necessarily the issue.
I mean, there is a LeBron fatigue that is out there. That is for sure. I think we're starting to hit a Steph Curry fatigue on top of that as well with people. And we've got this kind of, Bill Simmons did a great job laying this out. I think it was two pods ago. I want to say that he basically was like, okay, to all of you people screaming that the NBA is dead, let's go back in history. And he laid this out so well of like, okay, we've got this moment and then a dead period. And then all of a sudden we have this moment that comes by and then a dead period. And then all of a sudden here comes Bird and Magic and here come that and then there's a dead period. And look, there's Jordan again. And then all of a sudden there's a dead period. But Kobe, and then they're back into a dead. Like, he kind of did a great job going like, and he goes, right now we're in one of those dead periods. It is the history of the NBA. And what'll happen is the same thing that has happened for the last 80 years. We'll have a dead period for a couple years, and then all of a sudden the next big thing will hit. And whether the big thing is already in, and it's maybe, you know, maybe it's Wembanyama, for all we know, it could be Cooper Flagg gets drafted, and all of a sudden we've got the next great player that's hanging out. Like, maybe it's the Cavs. Maybe this Cavs team becomes the team that a lot of people start keeping their eye on, and they love exactly what Bill laid out. Love how the ball gets distributed all over the place. They love how these guys play together. They love how it's not pound, 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 three. You know, they love that idea, and that becomes one of the things that's like, okay, now we have this to help the NBA.
Yeah. Dan, are the Cavs title contenders right now? Would you consider them a title contender by the definition?
Yes. I think, at least to me, the definition of title contender is, are you one of the three best teams in your league? Like, or I should say in your conference. Are you one of the three best teams in your conference? If you're one of the three best teams, yes, you're a title contender. And maybe you could say four, depending on what the standings look like. But, like, yeah, you're a title contender. At that point, anything can happen. You are a team that could easily take down enough teams to make your way in. Not to mention, this is the NBA playoffs. It's attrition, man. It's all about who's walking healthy at the tail end of it. Ask the Knicks about how you should handle walking healthy at the tail end of a playoff
run. I don't want to ask Tom Thibodeau anything about being healthy into the playoffs.
Right.
That's not the question I want to ask him.
Well, right, because then he'll make you run for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And so
that never ends up good.
No. Oh, gosh, no. And so, yeah, they're absolutely a title contender. Is it going to be really hard if they get matched up with a healthy Boston Celtics team in a final, in a Eastern Conference Finals? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be must-see TV. It's going to be really, really hard for them to do it. Is it their kryptonite? Possibly. I could say yes. I mean, on paper, it would be that way. But you also have to get there. And you also have to tell me that Kristaps Porzingis is going to make it through three playoff rounds before he gets there. And you're also going to have to tell me that Jrue Holiday isn't going to pick up a knock. And you're going to have to, you know, down the line from there, that 40-year-old Al Horford is going to be healthy enough for three rounds of the playoffs before he sees the Cavaliers. And I'm not saying the only way the Cavs can win is if there's injuries. I'm saying that, like, this is the reality of the situation of the Cavs, that if people want to put them down as title contenders, you're making a serious mistake.
Yeah, I just, to me, title contender is, if you take the best team in the conference, you go up against them, you have a legitimate chance to take them down. Do you look at that series and say, yeah, I could see the Cavs beating the Celtics? I might not, if I had money, I might not put it there. Do I see it as a legitimate chance of happening? And I don't know how you've watched the games that the Cavs have played against the Celtics, including an NBA Cup game, and say any differently. 216-474-0092, we'll get your thoughts on that as well. Everybody's been talking about Miles not wanting to be with the Browns. Is there a conversation for the Browns maybe not wanting to be with Miles Garrett moving forward? We'll talk about it coming back. Jake Volnick, Dan Madigan, right here on The Fan.